الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that Allah is the only true God worthy of being worshipped, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon Prophet, his noble and pure family, his noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. Inshallah, we will continue. If we can put the banner, inshallah, sister, barakallahu feekum, and this will be the explanation, continuing the explanation for Surah Al-Kahf, which is chapter 18 of the Noble Quran, and we have reached verse number 27. يقول الله عز وجل واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا. الله سبحانه وتعالى says واتل ما أوحي إليك, and recite what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, of the book, meaning the Quran, of your Lord. None can change his words, and none will find as a refuge other than him. The first word, watlu, recite, this comprises the verbal as well as the practical recitation, at-tilawa, watlu. This command here comprises both the verbal as well as the practical. The verbal one is obvious. Someone may say, such and such recited Surah Al-Fatiha for me. This is obvious. The second element, which is the practical recitation, is that we comply with the Quran and its teachings. We execute the teachings of the Quran, meaning we follow that. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatir, which is Surah 35, verse 29, says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Surah Fatir 35, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. Na'am. Those who recite the book of Allah, the Quran, and perform the salah. And to the end of the verse, وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, and spend in charity out of what we have provided for them, secretly and openly. So therefore here, at-tilawa comprises both types, the verbal and the practical one. However, the addressing in this, al-khitab, the addressing of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is he addressing only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he is addressing the ummah at large? Here we should know that the addressing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is of three types. The addressing to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing him by Allah, is of three types. The first type, the one which is particular to him, particularly addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This comes from the evidence itself, meaning the evidence will tell us that this is particularly denoting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. This is the first type, and we will give examples inshallah. Alhamdulillah, that's it. The second is the general addressing, the general one. And the third is the addressing which possibly could cover both. It is said that this third type, the addressing which possibly could cover both, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ummah at large, it is said that it may be general. And it was also said, the other opinion, that it could be also particular. And that the ummah, however, will follow him not as necessitated by the addressing of the matter, but بِمُقْتَضَى, but rather أَنَّهُ أُسْوَتُهَا وَقُدْوَتُهَا, but rather by necessitation that he صلى الله عليه وسلم is the one and the example to follow. Let's take the first case, the addressing which is particular to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Like the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sharh 94 verse 1, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ, haven't we not opened your chest for you? This is no doubt that this is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular. Also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Duha, in Surah Al-Duha verse 6, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى, Surah Al-Duha verse 6, didn't he find you an orphan and gave you refuge? This is particular. These are examples on the particular form of addressing. And addressing in Arabic is called Al-Khitab. Al-Khitab. So try to keep, inshallah, these technically important as well as legally important terms. The second example, or the example on the second type, that which the evidence tells us that it is general, as in Surah At-Talaq, Surah At-Talaq verse 1, 65 verse 1, يقول الله عز وجل, يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقوهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة. O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when you divorce women, divorce them at their عدّة, at their prescribed periods, and count accurately their عدّة, their periods, and fear Allah, your Lord, O Muslims. So the saying here, فطلقتم, divorce, is general, للجماعة, for everyone, for every, this is in the plural form. And they are the Ummah at large. They are the Muslim community at large. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called upon the leader of this Ummah and its messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the rest of the Ummah is following him. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمْ, O Prophet, when you divorce women. إِذَاً الْخِطَاب, therefore the addressing here, يَشْمَلْ النَّبِي, comprises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وجميع الأمة, and the entirety of the أمة. Now this is the second type. The third type, which possibly could be covering both, this ayah which we are talking about, ayat Surah Al-Kahf 27, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ, and recite, O Muhammad, this verse, please, 27 we are going through, and recite, O Muhammad, what has been revealed to you of the book, the Quran, of your Lord, and none can change his words, and none will find as a refuge other than him. Na'am. This is possible that it may cover both. However, it may be said that the addressing is for the entire Ummah. However, the Prophet ﷺ had been called specifically since he is the leader and the example. Now, to the rest of the points. مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ, that which has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the Quran. Now we know that here, look, and recite what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, of the book of your Lord. من كتاب ربك. There is an addition. The addition of the term الرب إلى الرسول, to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this tells us there is evidence in this addition, which is called in Arabic الإضافة, grammatically known as الإضافة. There is a benefit in this. This tells that أنما أوحاه الله, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his messenger, is من تمام عنايته به, is reflecting his perfect caring concerning this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لا مبدل لكلماته, none can change his words. This refers to both Allah's words that are universal, and this is known in Arabic kawniyya, as well as the other type of Allah's speech words, and this is called الشرعية, the legislative. So now we know that the words of Allah are of two types, universal كونية, and the other is شرعية, legal. As to the كونية, which is universal, it's clear no one can change the universal words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says كن, be, in a universal matter, regarding a universal matter, no one can change that. Also, as to the legal one, legally, no one can change it as well. No one can change the legal ones. Legally, no one can change the legal ones. And the negation here doesn't mean that it may not exist. It means, though, however, that no one can legally change the legal words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if someone would say, وَجَدْنَا مَنْ يُبَدِّلْ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, we found some who may change the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This could refer to the legal aspect, in the sense that some people may misquote the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this would be a form of alteration or a change, but not in the legal words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke them in their essence. No, they may interpret the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not intend, and this is the case with all the mu'attila, those who deny or distort the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all or part of them. They are considered from those who also baddalu kalam Allah, changed the words of Allah from this latter concept, which it is possible for it to exist, not in the essence, but rather in the matters, as misquoting, misinterpretation, and you name it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. The last statement, none can change. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. His words, and none you will find as a refuge other than him. Meaning, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find no one to turn to incline to, or to take refuge in, because this term iltihad is derived from the Arabic al-lahd, which means al-mail, the inclination. This means that if they want to hurt you, O Muhammad, in any way, then you will find none other than Allah to protect you and to stop them. And from this we learn the following: if one is touched by any harmful matter or fears something, then he should resort and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking refuge in him. This is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Jinn 72 verses 21 and 22, قل إني لا أملك لكم ضرا ولا رشدا قل إني لن يجيرني من الله أحد ولن أجد من دونه ملتحدا. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not in my power to cause you harm or to bring you to the right path. Say, none can protect me from Allah's punishment, meaning, if I were to disobey Him, nor can I find refuge except in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the same meaning as this verse in this surah, in Surah Al-Kahf. Then inshallah we move to verse 28. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ, verse 28, Surah Al-Kahf, meaning keep yourself, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with those who call on their Lord, those who invoke Allah. Be with them, stick to them, strengthen their motivation, those who invoke Allah. And the invocation of Allah is of two types. The invocation, the supplication, is of two types. The first one is called Dua al-Mas'ala. Dua al-Mas'ala, which means supplication when a request is made. Invocation of two types. First, supplication when a request is made. The second type of invocation is known as the invocation of ibadah, of worship. The second is known as invocation of worship, or through worship. Example, the person does an act of worship seeking reward and fearing punishment. And this type is not correct unless it is directed to Allah alone. So these are the two types of supplications. First one is supplication al-mas'ala, where there is a request made. The second is supplication of worship. So Allah is telling him, keep yourself with those who invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be with them, sit with them, strengthen their wills. بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ, meaning morning, al-ghada, wal-ashi, afternoon. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ, seeking His face, seeking Allah's face. So they are sincere. يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, they intend the face of Allah and they don't intend anything of this life. In this verse, there is the affirmation of the magnificent attribute of Allah, and this is Wajhullahi Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the face of Allah, most blessed and most magnificent. It is the consensus of the learned scholars of Ahl Sunnah that they affirm the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on evidences from the book and the authentic sunnah. قال الله تعالى في كتابه العزيز, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, the most mighty, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and their face, and there remains the face of your Rabb, the one of magnificence and generosity. And there are other verses, of course, from the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the dua, أعوذ بوجهك, I seek refuge in your face. And it is by the consensus of the righteous predecessors and their learned scholars, the affirmation of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similar to the face of the creatures? لا يمكن, impossible, that the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be likened or similar to the face of the creatures, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts in His book, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like unto Him, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearer, all-seer. Also, we read in Surah Maryam, and these verses, inshallah, verse 42:11 and verse 19:65, I recommend for the brothers and sisters to keep them to heart, memorize them. 42:11 and 19:65. In 42:11, it is very specifically related to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But 19:65 even contains additional benefits, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Himself, رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Lord of the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and all that is between them. So, look at this now, Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all that's between them. This affirms that lordship belongs to Allah alone. So this is the first part of Tawheed. This is the first part of Tawheed, which is called Tawheed of Lordship, singling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the single Lord, as the single and the only Lord. This is the first part of 65, the first statement, if you look at it there. Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all that's in between them, so worship Him alone and be constant. Now comes what? So worship Him alone. This means to single Allah alone in worship, and this is known as Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the Tawheed of Divinity. Now comes the third statement. Do you know of any who is similar to Him or co-equal to Him? This tells you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qualified with the unique names and attributes, and that nothing is like unto Him in His names and attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse 65:1 comprises the three types of Tawheed as you see it. One single verse comprises the three types of Tawheed. Also we read from Surah Al-Baqarah 2:22, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, in 2:22, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. This is the last part there. There's the statement. Then don't set up rivals unto Allah in worship while you know that Allah alone has the right to be worshipped. And similarly, the everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for Himself from all the attributes, then it is incumbent upon us to make it pass on its obvious meaning without setting up parallels nor likening Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation. We know for sure from the physical perception as well as from the intellectual perception, anything added to a thing, then it befits that thing. Anything added to a thing, it befits it. Meaning, man has a face, the camel has a face, the horse has a face, the elephant has a face, certainly. Now, are these faces all resemble each other? No, whatsoever, no, in any way. It befits that to which it is added. So therefore, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds to Himself from the face, it cannot be in any way resembling the faces of the creatures. Now, if someone comes and says, but it came in the hadith, and this is authentic hadith, that it came in this authentic hadith, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إن الله تعالى خلق آدم على صورته. But it came in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in his own surah. In his own surah. We'll write the term surah here. Some translate this into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam على صورته. على صورته. In his own surah. Some of them translate the surah quote unquote image. So what is the answer for this hadith? How can we understand this hadith? The answer to this hadith comes from two angles. First one, either it is to be said, it is not necessitated that there it must be a resemblance between Allah and Adam. The evidence for this angle is that we have another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أول زمرة تدخل الجنة على صورة القمر. صورة على صورة القمر ليلة البدر. على صورة القمر ليلة البدر. Meaning, the first group of people who will enter paradise will be على صورة, like the moon, on a full moon light. Like the moon, على صورة القمر, on a full moon light. We know, obviously it is known to every one of us, that there is no resemblance between this group of people and the moon. However, the saying على صورة القمر, like the moon, meaning إضاءة وابتهاجا ونورا, means glittering and shining. This is the first angle to this answer. So it doesn't necessitate resemblance. The second is to say that على صورته, in his own quote unquote surah, meaning on the surah quote unquote which Allah had chose, meaning also adding the surah of the Adam, or you know, his offspring to Allah, adding that to Allah is by way of honor and magnification. Honoring Adam and magnifying his status, as we read in the Quran something similar like this, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. And who, as in Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah 2 114, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. And who are most unjust than who forbid that Allah's name be glorified and mentioned much in Allah's houses, in Allah's mosques. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not praying in the mosque, in Allah's mosques. You see this? In Allah's mosque. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not praying in these masajid. However, it is added, the mosque is added to Allah by way of honoring and magnification, meaning it has been built for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the same as the saying of Salih alayhi salam to his people, Ma qata Allah, the she camel of Allah, Allah's she camel. And it is known, this is in Surah Al-Shams verse 13. Ma qata Allah wa suqiyaha. And it is known that this naqa, this she camel, laysat lillah, it is not for Allah as it is for us to mount and to ride on. However, it has been added to Allah على سبيل التشريف والتعظيم, by way of magnification and honoring. So, and therefore, خلق الله آدم على صورته, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in his own surah, meaning the surah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose from amongst all the creation. Here we read in Surah Al-Infitar 82 verse 6 and 7, يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك. O man, what has made you careless about your Lord, the most generous, who created you, fashioned you perfectly, and gave you the due proportion? Created you, fashioned you perfectly, meaning the one who made you in this form, which comprises his straightness of his build up. In another hadith, it came from the way of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam ala suratihi, in his own surah, وَطُولُهُ سُتُّونَ ذِرَاعًا, and his length extends 60 arm spans. And then his creation also diminished to the form which we see. So some of the ulama are with the opinion that this is a description, therefore, of Adam's form and shape. So this is the matter related to the question that may have been raised or may be raised by some concerning this hadith. We go back now to the statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah, يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ, meaning they intend the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning a person will have his intention sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِئْنَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the glitter of this life, the pomp and glitter of this life. However, keep your eyes upon them and keep company to the good, and motivate them and strengthen their wills. However, if the Prophet ﷺ would leave them for any legal benefit, then there is no harm upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, and do not obey the one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and who follows his own lusts, and whose affairs has been lost. طيب, this has two meanings. Don't obey the one who is heedless concerning the remembrance of Allah, or the remembrance which Allah sent down, meaning the Quran. And then followed his lusts, and his affair has been lost. The days and the nights pass, benefiting nothing from his time. And these ayat direct the believer to the importance of having his heart present when the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sought. And that the man who remembers Allah with his tongue and not in his heart, then the barakah, the blessing he may be deprived of this blessing in his actions and his lifetime, meaning in his time, in his utilization of time, so that he will end up losing his all affairs. And you find those heedless spending the long hours having nothing to gain. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, verse 29 now, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا. And say, the truth is from your Lord. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ, then whosoever wills, let him believe, and whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. The saying here of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and say, the addressing is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning say it, proclaiming that the haqq, the truth, is from your Lord alone. So don't seek the truth from a way other than the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِأَنَّ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ, because the truth is from Allah. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. This is a verse which is sometimes, or many people misuse it and misquote it, and the correct meaning of this verse is as follows: فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ فَلْيَكْفُرْ, and let him disbelieve, you know, whom he wants. This is a stern warning. There is a stern warning in this, implicit in this term, let him disbelieve. It is like when man threatens another man by saying to him, إِن كُنْتَ صَادِقًا فَفْعَلْ كَذَا, if you are truthful, then go ahead and do such and such. There is a threat implicit in the statement. And we have another evidence here from the verse itself. Look at it there. After let him disbelieve, Allah says, إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا, verily we have prepared for the ظالمين, the kuffar, mushriks, wrongdoers, etc., a fire whose walls will be surrounding them. So the one who disbelieves and dies on his state of disbelief, then the annar, the fire of hell, has already been prepared. And the ظالمين, meaning the kafirs. So if someone says, could the kufr mean ظلم? Yes. هل الكفر يسمى ظلما? Could kufr also be called ظلم? Yes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:254, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, and the kafirs are indeed, they are الظالمون, the wrongdoers. And there is no more unjust than the one who denies Allah and rejects him, or sets up rivals with him in worship. Yet Allah is the one who created him and provided for him and prepared for him everything. أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا, meaning the fire of hell, this fire of hell will circle, وَالْعَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ أَهْلُ النَّارِ, the people of fire, and therefore they will have no way to escape, neither left nor right. وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ, and if they will ask for help, for relief, for water, they will be granted water like boiling, يُغَاثُ بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ وَالْعَيَادُ بِاللَّهِ, they will be granted water like boiling oil, يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ, that it will scald their faces, it will scald their faces. بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا, terrible is the drink and an evil dwelling and resting place they are in. Meaning that if the people of the fire of hell, when they will get thirsty, and this will be a very intense thirst, when they will eat from this tree as zaqum, or from other ways, they will be given this kind of water, kalmuhl, boiled oil, which is like the precipitation of oil or the like, and it is very displeasing. The person, you know, the self will not really accept. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Surah Ibrahim in 14:16-17, وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيرُ. And he will be made to drink boiling, festering water. He will sip it unwillingly. And he will find a great difficulty to swallow down his throat. يَشْوِ الْوُجُوهُ, scalding their faces when it comes close to them, and their faces will, you know, the skin will come off because of the intense heat of this water. And if it reaches their bellies, their stomachs, it will cut it to pieces. قال الله جل وعلا وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. That's right. In Surah Muhammad 47:15, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَسُقُوا مَاءً حَمِيمًا فَقَطَّعَ أَمْعَاءَهُمْ. And they will be given to drink boiling water so that it will cut up their bowels. And what kind of pain? Is there an intense pain more intense than that which will cut the bowels from inside? Yet it will be cut and it will be renewed like the skin. والعياذ بالله كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. As in Surah An-Nisa 56. As often as their skins are roasted through, we shall change them for other skins that they may taste the punishment. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Al-Qadir ala kulli shay'. Allah is the most great. Far above any imperfection is He, all able to do what He wishes. وَبِلَحْظَةٍ, this is instantaneously. These things will be successive instantaneously. Burning, scalding, and renewal. Cutting of the bowels and joining them again into their original state instantaneously. بئس الشراب. Terrible is the drink. وساءت مرتفقة. And an evil dwelling and resting place it is. And this resting place could be evil as it is in the fire of hell, and it could be good as in the case of Al-Jannah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, the same surah, verse 29, verse 31, وَحَسُنَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ, meaning, and what an excellent dwelling and resting place is paradise. Verse 30, please. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. This is the style of the Qur'an. This is the beauty of the style and eloquency of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He mentions the people and the dwellers of the fire of hell, He will mention right after there the people and the dwellers of the paradise. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those whom Allah saves from the fire of hell and whose abode will be paradise. And this is the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying mathani, similar. This Quran is similar in eloquence, similar in beauty, similar in organization, in descriptions. Why? لِيَكُونَ الْإِنسَانُ جَامِعًا, so that man will look at the matter from its entirety. combining both al-khawf wa al-raja in his travel to Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe, meaning to believe in Allah, to believe in the articles of faith, the six articles of Iman, believe in Allah, in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, and hereafter, in the pre-decree, it's good and bad. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You will always find this in the Quran in so many places. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, believed and did righteously. For them Allah promised إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Verse 30, certainly we shall not, their deeds will not be lost, the reward, who does the righteous deeds in most perfect manner. أحسن عملا. This is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rahman, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there a reward for good except good? As in Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Rahman, verse 60. Now the question is, what is the thing that makes the actions acceptable and to be best? It is through al-ikhlas, based on these two conditions: sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jal and following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is obvious that this noble ayah motivates the believers to act righteously. On this verse 30, we stop, and inshallah next week we move to verse 31 by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen for this excellent explanation of Surah Al-Kahf. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa jazakum Allahu khayran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you.